Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is a professional storyteller and teaches at Florida Atlantic University. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Here's one from Ryan Daniels.
The reason I'm telling this story is because I think these things should be talked about. I came from a very small town in Orlando. The graduation rate wasn't very high. There was I could probably count maybe 20 people from my high school who went away to school. The rest just kind of joined the workforce and started their lives. I got into school, which was a big accomplishment for me because I didn't think I was going to get into school. It was 2015. I came to FAU. It was a phenomenal school. I loved it. Made very good friends. I had a little bit of hard time adjusting to the freedom because my parents were, as immigrants, were very, very strict growing up. Immigrated from Sri Lanka. I wouldn't say I was sheltered because I was allowed to do things, but for sure was still very held back compared to my friends. So when I first got a taste of freedom, I kind of didn't know what to do with it. I was just running around like a wild child, and didn't get into any trouble or anything like that, but I look back and I'm just wow, that was a lot of just wildness that could have been avoided. One incident in particular, probably when this is, I guess, reality really struck. I was in a very dark place in 2017. I wasn't doing too very good in school. The hurricane just happened, and so my family was going through a hard time, and then my grandmother passed away. And then a week after that, my girlfriend broke up with me of 2.5 years. So it was just a very dark time. And I wouldn't say I got into trouble necessarily, but I was drinking and I was just I was just kind of in a very dark place. And I got Baker Acted. My understanding of the Baker Act was, I presume, a safety precaution if someone was either a danger to their life or someone else's life. That's what the doctors were telling me, and it was probably the lowest point in my life. It was horrendous. It was just the worst, and I was taken to clinic. I'm not sure. They don't tell you where they take you, but I was very embarrassed because I was essentially, someone from the outside would think I was getting arrested, because that's what they do, is they put you in handcuffs and they put you into the back of a squad car, they don't tell you where you're going, and then they just pulled up to this facility. Basically, I'd never experienced the real world like this. It was definitely an eye-opener, because I went into this facility, and there was a gentleman, and he was okay, so here you go. He gave me like a hospital gown, and I was just I don't know what to do with these. He's oh, you've never had this happen before? And I was no. I didn't know what to do. He's oh, well, welcome to the real world. He's well, you gotta strip butt naked. I have to watch you shower. I have to make sure that there's nothing on you that can hurt you. And then you're gonna give me all your clothes. They're gonna be taken and sorted. And then you're gonna spend 72 hours in this holding room. And I was wow, this is really happening. I kept telling myself, this isn't happening. But it was really happening. And I did that. There was only cold water, which sucked. They didn't give you a towel to dry off. I had to pat dry with my gown that I wore, and they gave me some socks and the gown, and I was put in a room without any windows, no clocks, just blank walls with about 9 other individuals. And the first thing, I was like, why does everyone have regular clothes and I don't? But it's because after the first few hours, they clean your clothes and stuff, and they give it back to you. So I was in there, and I was just not okay. I didn't know these people. I didn't know if these people were clinically insane. I would walk by hallways of people who were screaming and all this other stuff, and I was just this is not my element. I didn't know how to feel, and so I was just scared, in all honesty, scared. And I went through all of the psychiatrists and all of the therapists. I had to tell what happened to 12 different people and some grad students. And then they were we're going to try to get you out of here. Basically, what they told me was that all it takes is 2 people to Baker Act someone. It doesn't matter who it is. Me and you, if we saw someone on the side of the street and they're oh, I hate my life, I could literally call the police. And if you were to be yes, this person needs help, Baker Acted. No questions asked. So that's what happened is, My ex-girlfriend lied to her best friend saying that I was going to commit suicide that day, and Baker acted me. And so FAU said that I wouldn't be allowed to be on campus. I had to vacate the premises within 24 hours, otherwise they would lock up my dorm and I guess just get rid of my stuff. So I went back to my dorm, packed up my things, and went home. My parents came and got me because they didn't know what happened. I had to call my roommate because you couldn't call any of... If it wasn't a 561 number, I wasn't allowed to make that call. It was considered long distance. So I was thankfully the only person who had a 561 number was my roommate. And if I didn't have his phone number, no one would have known where I was for 3 days. I went home, and then they said I had to be cleared by a psychiatrist and therapist. And it turned out that I was bipolar. So I didn't know this before, but it's genetic, and you can't get rid of it. You're going to live with it for the rest of your life. And so I was just like, whoa, this is heavy. And my therapist was able to walk through all of these, like a list of things that I had just thought was a part of me, and I would never thought that it was something that I didn't control, like a chemical imbalance in my brain that I didn't have control over. But it was a big eye-opener, and it was definitely a turning point in my life because now I understood why I would do the things I did, and just, like, there were just nights where I just didn't sleep, and I was just like, why do I have all this energy? Like, why? Sometimes I would just go through depressive phases for, like, 3 months, and it was just, like, a manic, and it was just, like, dark for no reason, and then it would go away, and it's just, like, it was because I had a chemical imbalance in my brain. And so I was cleared. I'm now taking medication every day. FAU allowed me to come back, and then that's when I started to do better in school, was because I was now able to realize that I wouldn't say a disability, but definitely was made it a little bit harder to do, like, just focus on school.
Ryan Daniels with a story about getting help.
And a really important story it is. It's very brave and very noble, I think, to tell a story about overcoming a weakness. So many of us never want to acknowledge it. Not so much, I will say, with this younger generation, but for those of us who are getting a little long in the tooth, this is really something to get on the radio and tell a story like this. And because he wanted, he really said, he firmly believes, I got to let people know that there's help. I got to let people know that they're not alone.
I do know someone who was once Baker acted, and it's quite brave of Ryan to admit that happened to him. Do you feel like he was treated fairly when he was Baker acted?
Well, you know, he's telling his experience, and it must have been a very terrifying time. And I am not a mental health professional. I have no idea what they do and why they do what they do. I do know it must feel, particularly if you're stripped naked and, you know, the whole thing, it must feel like you're getting into a jail. But I see they've got to protect you from having something to kill yourself with or to hurt somebody else. And, you know, it's a scary, scary situation.
And he points out that he was sane enough to know that he wasn't as disturbed as some of the other people in the area. But ultimately, I think he got the help he needed.
Although he doesn't go into the detail of the depths of his despair and depression, the details aren't necessarily important here. But what is important, somebody helped him without his say-so. In other words, when you're Baker acted, the whole point of it is you're not getting the help you need. Somebody forces you to get the help you need. And it must feel so terrible to have somebody else. He says you need just two people need to say that you need help and you get sent away.
Well, those two people thought he was suicidal, so obviously they had good cause.
We would expect so. We don't know the situation. But I don't know if irony is the word. I mean, it happens so often. But I think the point of this story is it's one thing to say, okay, I need help. I'm going to go in and get help. I'm feeling ABC. He didn't even know that there was a name to how he was acting until somebody else, incidentally, his ex-girlfriend, said, I think we need to get some help for this guy. Then they forced him to get help. But it's a really tough call. I don't know if it would be so easy for me to do that.
He mentions a few times that he was in a dark place and how the real world isn't the world he was living in. I guess the real world was a tougher world?
Well, I think welcome to the real world could mean a few things. One of the things I took it to mean was welcome to the problems adults have, because he was obviously a very young man. He was a college student. This is as real as it gets. I loved talking about that scene. I loved when he said, "Oh, you've never been this here before. You've never had this done before." It sounds funny, but actually it's a terrible thing, and it's been written about just recently in national media, the fact that there are so many places like this. People do just kind of cycle back and forth, in and out. They get cured, they go back on the street, and then they go back in again. This is a situation, from what I heard Ryan say and from what I understand from this story, he's not going to be in it again. He got the help he needed. He got a name for the way he was feeling. He's done. He's not going to be part of the problem anymore.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. Is there a storytelling event in South Florida?
On Sunday, January 12th, I will be hosting yet another $100 storytelling slam at the Mad Robot Brewing Company in Boca. That's 2621 North Federal Highway, and it's 5 to 7 p.m. Don't write down your stories, just come to listen, or you may be inspired to tell your own.
Thanks, Karen. And if our listeners has a story they'd like to share with everybody on the Public Storyteller, how can they get in touch with you?
To find out how, or to find out anything else about storytelling in South Florida, cneile, that's C-N-E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Our website also has contact information, as well as archived stories at wlrn.org. Click radio and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is a professional storyteller and teaches at Florida Atlantic University. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.